Amen. But it is a conversation when you speak to God and God speaks to you. You speak and you expect to be answered. If it's just a one-way conversation, then it's not like the examples of prayer of which we read in the Old Testament. So in verse 13, Moses says to God, "Now therefore, I pray thee, if I have found favor in thy sight, show me now thy way." Moses wants to know the way of God. How do you work with men? How do you deal with men? "That I may know thee to the end, that I may find favor in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people." Now think for a moment. He wants to know God's ways so he can anticipate what God will do upon such and such a situation and how he is to respond, how he is to dispense government and decisions to the people. Verse 14, "And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest." You see, he speaks to God, and God speaks to him. "And he said unto him, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. For wherein now shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so that we are separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth? And the Lord said unto Moses, I will do this thing also that thou hast spoken, for thou hast found favor in my sight, and I know thee by name. And he said, show me, I pray thee, thy glory. And he said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Let me pause here just a moment. God is explaining his nature, his person, his ways. And because of that, in explaining this to Moses, he said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy." Verse 20. "And he said, thou canst not see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon the rock. And it shall come to pass while my glory passeth by." Did you notice? God said he would make his goodness now also his glory. "While my glory passeth by, that I will put thee in a cleft of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand until I pass by, and I will take away my hand, and thou shalt see my back, but my face shall not be seen." Now, look down in chapter 34 at verse 5. "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, upon the third and upon the fourth generation. And Moses made haste and bowed his head toward the earth and worshiped. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray thee, go in the midst of us, for it is a stiff-necked people, and pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take us for thine inheritance. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, how awesome are these experiences that creatures have had with Thee in the past. We have contemplated before sin came into the world, You are assuming a form and coming to the garden and walking with our parents in the cool of the evening, talking with them, explaining Thy ways, their hearts enjoying Thee without any sin marring the fellowship. And then even after sin, You have spoken to Noah, and now You are speaking to Thy servant Moses. We marvel at this, our God. Lord, we pray that Thou shalt put within us a desire to know Thee, Thy ways, and Thy glory, not for selfish reasons. Thou dost tell us about even the knowledge of God, that knowledge puffeth up. But it also says that we become like unto that which we love. And our Father, we pray that we may become like unto Thee because we love Thee and because of Thy goodness and Thy glory that pass before our faces as much as we are able to comprehend. So, Lord, put that desire within us. Thou hast said to us in Thy word, Thy Son is promised, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. We pray, Lord, that it shall not be as many who are waiting for the coming of Thy Son to see the Lord, but that our desire shall be like unto Moses, who says, on earth, in this world, show me Thy glory. So, Lord, prepare our hearts, we pray. Make us attentive, cleanse us that we might be clean to speak and hear, and glorify the name of Thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. One of the comforts of being a child of God is the ways of God that have been made known to the minds of men. If you read about the Greek gods and the gods of the past, they're fickle gods. The people are unable to know what they desire and what pleases them, and they capriciously deal with the creatures, and they stand in fear because they know not the nature of their God, they know not the ways of their God. Now, you must understand this. You are talking to a man who has only known God for ever so brief a period. Here is an aged man, according to our standards. He is over 80 years of age, but he's never met God until he's 80 years old. And he's only known God a short while. And it is like young people today who want to know about the Lord. But knowing the Lord and learning about the Lord is not something that comes suddenly upon you, but it is something that comes gradually upon you. And little by little, you know the Lord. And I think now, when I was saved over 40 years ago, about the things that I wondered about God. I remember having to get the doctrine of eternal security secure in my mind. Lord, You told me that if I trust Your Son, You will save me. Well, am I going to remain saved? Trying to find out about the Lord Jesus, God manifest in the flesh, trying to find out about heaven, the coming of the Lord. I wanted to know all of these things, and also how God was going to deal with me. I wanted to know His ways of dealing with me in my pilgrimage journey from earth to the land of Canaan, and then also what is going to happen to me when the Lord came and took me to heaven. I was interested in those things. And Moses, in like manner, wants to know God's way, His dealings. He wants to know how the Lord will work out the problems that arise among His people. And these things are still potential today. And this is what is so disturbing, that unlike Moses and unlike those in the New Testament who must search to find out the ways of God, I find that even evangelicals today are simply looking over situations and not saying, thus saith the Lord, but of their own inventions and imagination and suggestions, deciding that this thing should be dealt with this way and that thing should be dealt with that way. Moses says, no, this is not what I want. It's like this. When Moses sat and judged the people and cases would be brought before him, he wanted to know precisely what was right and wrong, what penalty should be issued in this case, and what reward should be issued in that case. He wanted to know what should be done to the people when they sinned, and he wanted to know also if the people who had sinned could be forgiven. Now, do you want to know that? Or are you just satisfied, like some, they say, oh, my conscience tells me. Your conscience could never tell you the things that are in God's Word. Even Paul did not trust his conscience. He said, my conscience bearing witness with me in the Holy Spirit. Now, if your conscience says something, it may be that your conscience is wrong. But if your conscience tells you something because of the convicting truth of God's Word, and then the Spirit confirms that this is true, then you can move with certainty. But if it's your conscience, it may be something that's entirely wrong. Your conscience may say, show mercy. But God's Word says, put out that evil man from among you. And so your conscience was wrong. And some would say, well, God is loving and compassionate. He would never want to put away someone that's done evil. But God's Word does say, put away one that has done evil. So you cannot know. And Moses says, oh God, I have to know your way. I have to know your way. It's like this. If he has seen the judgment of God fall upon the nation of Egypt, and when they rise the morning after the Passover, and Egypt is filled with death and judgment and destruction, then Moses wants to know what is going to happen to this nation of Israel whom God has taken out of Israel, out of Egypt, if Israel sins against God. Do you want to know? Does it take you by surprise if God's judgment falls in such a case? It should not. If we as Moses have ascertained God's ways, then it will not take us by surprise. It says concerning Ezra, that Ezra had set his heart to seek the law of the Lord and to do it and to teach in Israel statute and judgment. And now, this is what Moses is doing, but with this difference. When you have a man like Ezra or Nehemiah, think of all the scripture, though incomplete, all the scripture, the precedent, the examples that they have from which they can read and render a decision. But now, tell me, what books of the Bible does Moses have to read from? You say, why, I don't know if he has any. That's right. There may have been no books in existence. And for that reason, he had to receive directly from the mouth of God, by revelation, the ways of God. And now, that is our reward, that Moses, who said, show me thy ways, God showed him his ways and wrote his ways, and now you and I as Ezra can seek the law of the Lord. And now it is not as some who, disregarding this book, go into God's presence and say, tell me, O God. That is not the way that we work today. We first go to this book and ascertain God's ways, his dealings with men. And having ascertained that, we go into the presence of God and talk with God about these ways, the various dealings that he has with men. Why, as in Acts chapter 12, he lets James be put to death, but he sends an angel miraculously to deliver Peter. And here we find ourselves in prison. And now, O God, show me thy ways. Will you deliver me as Peter, or shall death come and take me as a martyr, as James? This is what we have. We have the inspired scriptures to work with. But remember, here is poor Moses, and he has not these books to work with. And he's writing them down. And so let us praise God for men who wanted to know these things. I rejoice in the New Testament over those who did not know and who asked the Lord. For instance, are you not glad of the question that was asked our Savior in John chapter 14 when the Savior was talking about the Father's house and the way to the Father's house? Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not the way. How do we know? We don't know these things. And then the Lord Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And another said, Lord, show us the Father. And because he said that, we have all of these words of explanation. So do not be hesitant to inquire of God, because it may be that the very thing that you inquire about is something that is a question in the heart of other people of God. And when God answers your question, they will read the answer that God gives to you, and that answer will be the answer that God gives to them. And so Moses wants to know the way of the Lord. Now think, another man like him that has to deal in a similar way with people does the same thing. Here is Moses, and he says, show me thy way. And here is God appearing to Solomon, and Solomon says, I'm a little child. Give me wisdom, O God, to judge this by so great people. I pray that God would give us such leaders that if God did appear to them, they would say, do not make me great. Do not give me wealth. Do not overcome my enemies, but give me wisdom to judge this by so great people. And so here is Moses, and that is why he wants to know this thing. Why does Solomon want wisdom? He says to God, to judge this by so great people. And it says, the saying pleased the Lord. So why do you want to know about God? Why do you want to know what is right and wrong? There is a correct reason and an incorrect reason. And if it's to puff up or for some ulterior motive, that reason is no good. But if it's to know the truth of God, that you may impart it to others, that you may obey the truth of God, then that is fine. And Moses was such a man. And when he makes this request, God says, I'm going to answer that request. He promises it that his presence, and what did I say the word presence was in the Hebrew? Any brother remember? Couldn't remember 7 days? My face. The same word panim is translated my face and my presence. My face or my presence shall go with thee, and I shall give thee rest. I was telling you that this is God answering Moses' prayer. But Moses needs assurance after assurance after assurance. Because, do you remember? He who put out the fleece, he said, Lord, you told me you're going to do this. He said, but Lord, if you are, and he put out the fleece, and God did as he requested of the fleece. And he said, Lord, you've done it. Now reverse what you did to make me sure. And so here is a nation that has committed a great sin, but Moses intercedes with God. And notice, when he goes into God's presence, he says, I'll go and I'll pray to God. Peradventure, I shall make atonement for you. You see? He doesn't know if he's going to be successful. And when he hears God say, my presence shall go with you, and I will give you rest. Then he rejoices, but he asks again. Look at chapter 34 at verse 9. And he said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray thee, go in the midst of us, and so forth, and so on. You see, he keeps asking God this thing. Even though God tells him, he wants to hear God tell him again and again. And it's the same way when one, are you sure that I have a place reserved in heaven for me? Yes, my child, you have a place reserved in heaven for you. That the Lord Jesus loves me and he's coming back to receive me to himself. Yes, my child, he's going to do that. And God will tell you, he will assure you again and again. Once should be enough. But even for Moses, some things seem so great that we have to hear them again and again. All right. Here is God, and this is one of the most touching verses, that when God tells Moses, I'm going with you, and I'll take you to where I promised you you were going. Then this is what Moses replies. Look at verse 15. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. Now, let me ask you, think of those slaves who had been delivered out of Egypt, who remembered the onions and the leeks and the garlics, who remembered the flesh pots. Now, when they were freed from slavery, if God had just safely taken them to the promised land flowing with milk and honey, do you think they would have cared a snap of the finger whether God was with them? Alas, many people are that way. They say, oh God, I want all these promises that you've made. Well, do you want me in the bargain? Just give me the promises. God seems to be of no importance. But Moses says, you are more important than the promises. Notice, God says, I'm going up with you. And Moses said, if you do not go up with me, then carry us not up then. Let me tell you something that was deeply moving. You've read books by Robert Anderson, Sir Robert Anderson. He was head of the criminal division of Scotland Yard in the days of Queen Victoria. And he had given a life of service to his country. And it was announced to him, Robert Anderson, you are now chosen to be knighted by the Queen of England. No longer to be Robert Anderson, but Sir Robert Anderson. However, there was this difficulty. The Queen has so much official business to carry out, it cannot be arranged for you to be in her presence to receive this knighthood, but still, it will be conferred upon you, and you will have the title of Sir Robert Anderson. And this is what he wrote to those that told him of his proposed knighthood. He said, unless I can come into the presence of the Queen of England, he said, I am not concerned about knighthood. He said, that is the most important part. And those who told him that it could not be arranged, had it arranged. And he was telling about this in his biography. And when he went in and knelt before the Queen, he said that he took her hand and he kissed her hand most passionately. And then she remarked afterwards how fervently Sir Robert had kissed her hand. And you see, what was important to him was not this title, Sir Robert Anderson, but it was the Queen of England, Queen Victoria, bestowing that knighthood. Now think, here is God, who's promised us great blessings, daily bread, food, covering, all of these things. And are we satisfied in saying, you propose to give me these things? Yes. All right, give them to me. And if God gives them to me, well, that's all that matters. Don't care whether I have fellowship with God, whether I come into his presence and thank him and express my gratitude. That means nothing. Just give me the good things that you promised. You see how inferior we are to people even like Sir Robert Anderson and like Moses. Moses said, Lord, all of these things that you proposed to me, he said, I'm not interested in them unless you personally go with it. So, when you are reading of the promises of God in the book, make sure that you insist that God personally arrange to give you these promises, that God will go with you through life, and your fellowship will be unbroken until you come to the end of the journey. Or say to God, if it's not that way, I don't want a blessing at all. And if so, then you will be set apart. Instead of being those that love the onions and the leeks and the garlics and the flesh pots, you remember all of those things in Egypt. You will be like unto Moses, who said, if your presence go not with us, take us not up at all. Now, here is the way that Moses prayed to God, and this is the way that you are to read it. If you are a beggar, if you are a stranger to some person of importance, of course there should be hesitancy on your part to go and make a request. But if this person of importance says, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight, then that should fill us with boldness, and this is what Moses said. He said, if now I have found favor in thy sight, and then he makes this request before God. I know you by name. You said you knew me by name. You know my name. And you said I found favor in your sight. Then this is what I want you to do. You realize that you can approach God and say, I am your child. I was a sinner, but you saved me by grace, and now it's not as a sinner, my Father, that I'm talking to you, but I'm talking to you as your child. You've told me that I'm accepted in the Beloved, and now, as one of your children, and in Christ's name, I'm praying to you. That's the way we are to pray to God. We're not to go and say, oh God, I'm just a sinner, I'm unworthy, I expect nothing from you. It says, we have come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Why? Because you must understand the authority that you have in the person of Christ to approach God, to beseech God, and yet so often we are hesitant. And God says, I know you by name. The Lord Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and I know my sheep by name. Well, God, you knew Moses' name? Yes. The Lord Jesus said, I know your name. You know my name? Yes. And because of that, turn back to chapter 3 of Exodus. I want you to see this. Because here is why we know that that's true. And you'll find so many things in the Old Testament that have like portions in the New Testament. In chapter 3 of Exodus, verse 3, a bush is burning, and Moses said, I will turn aside now and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see God, he called unto him out of the midst of the bush, and he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. You see? When God spoke to Eli through the little child, he said, Samuel, Samuel. And so he knows the names of his people. He knows the names of those that he's going to use. And I can say that I am among those whom God knows by name. And I shall not with false humility say, oh God, do you know me? I am known by God. These things, I know God's ways. I know, as it says in Romans 12, he said, I say according to the grace of God given to me to every man that is among you, for each man to think of himself soberly according as God hath dealt to each man a measure of faith. And so we are not to pretend that we are not this or that, but we are to know what we are. If God says, I'm going to do this with you, then we may claim that. If God says, no, you are not that, then we are to acknowledge it. We are not to esteem ourselves more highly than we ought, but we are to reckon ourselves soberly according as God has given to each man a measure of faith. And if in the case of Moses, I was looking at the bush and he called my name, Milton, Milton, then I would say, how do you know my name? I remember in the New Testament, Nathanael was walking toward the Lord Jesus. The Savior was walking toward him, and he said, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom there is no guile. Nathanael said, "How do you know me?" The Savior said, "Before Philip called you, when you were under the fig tree, I saw you." And Nathanael said, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." You see? And if we experience God's knowledge of us, what strength, what assurance, what courage it gives. And then we can pray to God like Moses did. He said, "You told me you knew me by name. I've heard you call my name. When the bush was burning, you said, 'Moses, Moses,' and you told me I found favor in your sight." He said, "Now this is what I want." Look at verse 16 now, back at chapter 33 again. But remember, Moses' name was first called by God in chapter 3, personally. Now, in Exodus 33, look at verse 16. He says, "For wherein now shall it be known that I have found favor in thy sight, I and thy people? Is it not in that thou goest with us, so that we are separated, I and thy people, from all the people that are upon the face of the earth?" Tell me, do you still believe in that scripture that says, "Come out from among them and be ye separate"? That God says to us, "You shall be holy because I am holy"? Moses said, "I want to know that we found favor because you separate us from the people of the world." I'm afraid that the people of God today are quite willing to be mixed with the people of the world. They don't want to be distinct. You see, if God says you are to dress this way, you are to talk this way, you are to arrange your schedule this way on the first day of every week, you are to break bread, you are to engage earnestly, as it says in Acts 2:42, continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers, then let the world know that we are distinct. Oh, I don't want them to know that I go to church. I don't want them to know that I dress because God... Moses says, "That's exactly what I want to know." And God says, "All of you Israelites, in your garments shall put on a ribbon of blue." He had special ways for them to dress. He had special laws for them to keep. And Moses said, "That is what I want. I want you to make us separate from all the people." And I wonder if you claim that as a blessing from God, or if you would rather be hidden among the world and not to be thought a peculiar people, an out of the ordinary people. Moses said, "If I found favor in your sight, then separate us from the people that are upon the face of the earth. Let it be known that we are different, that God makes a distinction between his people and the world." And Moses said, "I claim that as a mark of thy favor. How will it be known?" He said, "This is the way that it shall be known." All right, now this verse. Look down at verse 19. And he said, when he prayed in verse 18, "Show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." Now, remember, he said, "I will make all my goodness." Moses said, "Show me thy glory." And he said, "I will make all my goodness pass before thee." And then in chapter 34, it says, "The Lord passed by before, spoke to him, and here is his glory." You see? The glory, but also the goodness of the Lord. And here is what I would tell you. That when you are talking of the glory of the Lord, there is a twofold glory. There is the natural glory of God, and there is the moral glory of God. And this natural glory of God, this immensity of God, is something that is incomprehensible. It is like a man with eyes. Look at the sun. Go to the presence of the sun that shines from the heaven. You say, "It would blind me, it would consume me." Of course. And God said, "I am greater than 10 million suns in the sky. You cannot look at my natural glory and live." But we can see the hinder parts of God, all the glory that man has ever seen. the glory that the Apostle Paul saw on the road to Damascus. It was just the twinkling of a distant star in comparison to the fullness of the glory of God. And yet, it was so much that Moses was smitten to the ground because of the glory of the light that was above the brightness of the sun. And so God can do that. But when Moses says, "Show me thy glory," remember, already, something of the glory of God has been seen by Moses and some of the elders of the children of Israel. But now God says, there is more to my glory than that natural glory. There is the moral glory that is associated with me. Now notice, in that moral glory, look at verse 19, and he said, "I will make all my goodness," this is moral glory, "in conjunction with natural glory, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee." Now listen, this is the moral glory. "And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I show mercy." Remember that verse, because that is the essence of the moral glory of God, His goodness. Notice, it's absolutely sovereign. He said, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I show mercy." But now, what he says in brief, look down in chapter 34 again at verse 6. "And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, Yahweh, Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abundant in loving kindness and truth, keeping loving kindness for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting," and so forth. You see what God is doing? He is not only letting Moses see his natural glory, but he is proclaiming unto Moses his moral glory, his goodness. He is answering Moses' question, "Show me thy ways. How are you going to deal with this thy people that you've taken out of the land of Egypt?" And God says, "I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. I will show mercy to whom I show mercy." And then he expands this and explains it more in chapter 34, verse 6. Gracious, yes. Merciful, yes. But slow to anger and abundant in loving kindness. And so Moses, when he sees this, notice, when God talks of his moral glory, he says, forgiving, long-suffering, then Moses, as soon as he finishes, look at verse 9. He said, "If now I have found favor in thy sight, O Lord, let the Lord, I pray thee, go in the midst of us." And he doesn't mind telling them, it's a stiff-necked people. He says, "Pardon our iniquity and our sin, and take a fine inheritance." What gave him courage to make that request? But when God said, "I'm merciful, I'm long-suffering, I forgive sin," then Moses can think of that great sin of idolatry of the nation of Israel. And he can think of God's great mercy and long-suffering and forgiveness. And he can say, "Oh God, forgive us and go with us." And that is what Moses requests. He wants to see the glory of God. He wants to know his ways. And Moses' requests were fulfilled. Time is gone. Let us pray. Our Father, we are thankful for these men like Moses who wanted to know about you, men like Ezra, men like Thomas, men like Philip. We are thankful for all of their questions, because now we have learned of you. You have told us of your great natural power. You have created heavens and earth and all things therein. But, our Father, things that we could never see with our natural eye, you have told us, and we see what you are, your nature of love and mercy and goodness and long-suffering. And we thank you that we know this about the God of heaven. So let us take these things to heart, and let us be emboldened to pray to thee for forgiveness, and look to thee for blessings still in spite of our failures and our sins. Bless these truths to our hearts, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.